welcome to the Parrot Care Sessions. Produced by Talking Naturally, exclusively for the World Parrot Trust, this is a series of in-depth conversations with leading experts, helping you to discover better ways to live with and care for your feathered friends. Hello, today on the Parrot Care Sessions, I'm joined by Dr. Scott Eccles, a board-certified avian veterinary specialist, adjunct professor at Texas A&M College of Veterinary Medicine, a past president for the Association for Avian Veterinarians, a frequent lecturer at multiple universities and conferences in the US and abroad, as well as being an author and filmmaker. His forays into filmmaking led him to establish Avian Studios, where he creates educational media that help teach people about the changes they can make to improve and enrich the lives of their companion parrots. Dr. Eccles is here with us today to discuss the topic of digestive problems in companion parrots, what warning signs to watch for, and to offer suggestions on what preventative steps we can take to keep their systems in tip-top condition. Dr. Eccles, Scott, welcome once again to the Parrot Care Sessions. Great to talk with you.
Very nice talking to you too, Charlie. I'm really enjoying these sessions.
Scott, I'm sure that most people listening to this will know what our own digestive system does. It breaks down the food we eat so that we can utilize the proteins, sugars, and fats within it, and that structurally it's more or less a series of long tubes through which the food travels while it's being broken down. Our intestines are actually very long and very heavy, but we, and of course most mammals, don't need to fly. Birds need to be as light as possible, and their digestive system is very different to ours. So let's start with that and look at how a parrot's digestive system differs from that of other animals.
Sure. Birds and parrots in general have a very different intestinal system, just the anatomy and physiology, from that of mammals. So I'm just going to start from kind of the mouth to the rear. Basically, you know, birds have, the food is only partially chewed, and generally it's just to make bite sizes that they can swallow as opposed to chew. And that is then goes down the esophagus into the crop, which is kind of the first holding stage of food. And that's right at the base of the neck. So when you see a bird that's just eaten, sometimes you see a bulge at the base of the neck, and that is the crop. So then from there, the crop goes down to another portion of the esophagus, and then it continues to the first stomach called the proventriculus. And this is more consistent with a true stomach in that we have digestive enzymes and so forth, but very little mechanical breakdown of the contents occurs there. So after it goes from the first stomach onto the second stomach, also known, most people would know the term gizzard or ventriculus. And what the gizzard does is it physically grinds and crushes the food. So first the enzymes are added in the first stomach, and then they're crushed in the second stomach in order to make them into smaller particles. So the gizzard's a very strong muscular organ, and there's nothing like that in the mammal world.
Right, and then from the gizzard, the food goes into the small intestine and then the large intestine, sort of similar to a mammal. But from there, again, things start to get very interesting, don't they?
The large intestine, this is another area where it changes and is quite divergent from mammals, is it empties into a common area called the cloaca. And the cloaca is a common collecting organ for the reproductive system, the urinary system, and the digestive system. So the end product, a dropping, and this is where we get into poopology, the study of poop.
Right.
All right. So the dropping actually contains three portions, and that is the urine, kind of the clearish or maybe slightly yellowish or slightly tinged portion. And then we have the urate, which is actually a protein metabolism byproduct, and that's white. And then we have the feces, which obviously comes from the intestinal tract. So a dropping is not just poop, it actually includes urinary components as well. So it's quite different from what we see in certainly in humans, but also in any other mammals.
Right. And Scott, studying the poop or the dropping is a really good place to start when you're looking for problems with the digestive system, isn't it?
Sure. That's often our indicator thing that we can say, I don't need to look inside the animal. Let's look what they've already made. And I'll look at that stool or that dropping sample and I'll say, okay, this is or is not normal. And that's one of the things I want to help the audience understand is that's a great monitoring tool that you can use is to actually look at the bird's dropping.
Right. Bearing all that in mind, Scott, what are the most common digestive problems that you see in your practice?
One of the common ones we see is diarrhea. And I should clarify that diarrhea is very different from another problem called polyuria. Polyuria just means there's excessive urine. And in that situation, there's a large water ring or urine ring around the dropping. Diarrhea is where the actual fecal portion, the feces, are not formed. The feces are watery, and that's very different from polyuria. And they mean different things. So first thing is diarrhea. That's one thing we see. We sometimes see whole food or undigested food in the droppings. That's another problem we see. Sometimes you'll find blood in the droppings. Now keep in mind, again, because the cloaca is a common collecting organ for multiple different systems, that blood may come from the urinary tract, it may come from the reproductive tract, it may come from the digestive tract, or it may come locally from the cloaca. So it doesn't tell us where it comes from, it just says that there's some blood there. Also, sometimes we see foreign bodies and parasites in the droppings, so sometimes you can physically see the parasite if they're large enough. And you know, those are the more common things. And then, of course, if a bird is not eating well, this may seem silly, but lack of droppings is very important to note as well.
And what might be the cause of that, Scott?
For whatever reason, their intestinal tract is either shut down,
right,
or they're not eating, so there's no food going through. And that's very important to note. And sometimes we see obstructions as well. Somewhere along the intestinal tract, there's a blockage. And as a result, it's no droppings are going through.
Scott, obviously a blockage to the intestine needs to be dealt with immediately, but is there a way that a caregiver can tell on the spot whether something severe is taking place that may necessitate taking the bird to the veterinarian as soon as possible?
Okay, sure. Let's go over some things that may or may not be a concern and then are severe issues. So here's some things. Let's say you change a bird's diet and maybe you add in something that has color to it, such as blueberries or other berries or foods that may have dyes, whether they be natural or not.
Mm-hmm.
And you all of a sudden see a change in the dropping. That can be okay. And that's not that unusual. Or if you just changed your bird's food altogether, maybe there's not even a color association, but you may see a change in a little bit of texture or the volume of it. And that can be okay as well. So those types of things, and again, stress, you have taken your bird somewhere, put it into a different situation, and right then and there, you notice a change in its droppings. That can be okay. And again, reproductively active birds often have changes in their droppings, especially female birds. Again, that can be okay. Then we have the ones that, you know, may or may not be okay. So we have excess urine in the droppings. Again, not diarrhea, but excess urine. Increased urine could be a stress response. It could be another physiologic issue. It could be because there is actually some change in how the lower intestine is processing that water or other things. And that probably should be looked at, especially if it continues over a long period of time. If you notice that the volume and the color of the dropping is changing over time and not necessarily correlating with a change in the diet,
right,
that could be a concern. So, in other words, you're starting to see that the bird's droppings are changing. The consistency, the color, and so forth are different, but you haven't really done anything different to the diet. That can be a concern. Obviously, if you see you're starting to see food in there, you're starting to recognize whole pieces of food, that needs to be looked at a little bit further. And there's a lot of different things that can relate to that. And then there's things that are really need a lot of attention. You are consistently seeing significant amount of whole pieces of food in the dropping. That's a concern. Blood, obviously, if you're seeing blood in the dropping, that's a concern. A lack of droppings altogether. Now, I should specify, a lack of feces in the droppings. So a bird can produce urine and urates, but no droppings. Now, if it happens once, no big deal. But if it's consistent, that can be very severe. And if a bird is straining and it's not producing anything, that's a serious concern. And again, no droppings altogether, that's a serious concern. So, you know, that's how we kind of look at, is this important and what do I need to do about it? Blood, no droppings or severely reduced droppings, large pieces of food in the droppings, those need to be taken care of as soon as possible.
And Scott, just to clarify, how quickly or over what time period might these changes become apparent?
Okay. Well, if you know that you've done something different, you've changed the diet, you've moved the cage in the house, you've had people over, there's some stressful situation, the bird should have a change within the next, could be the next few minutes to the next day or so.
Right.
As long as droppings are going through, that should be okay. Now, let's say that the change in the dropping has been occurring gradually over time. That needs to be looked at sooner than later, but it's not necessarily an emergency. If the bird is not producing droppings, birds produce, I mean, anybody who owns a bird knows how much they poop. I mean, that's just how it is. So if they're not producing droppings, you know, especially within a day, something serious is going on. And that needs to be evaluated as soon as possible. Blood needs to be looked at. You know, if you're seeing blood in the dropping, that needs to be evaluated as soon as possible.
Thanks, Scott. Can we turn now to the causes of digestive problems? Are most of these problems caused by things the birds have ingested or eaten?
Well, so that's a good question, because the intestinal system, some people consider for many birds, the intestinal system, the shock organ, meaning that when the bird goes through shock period, their intestines shut down. And there is some truth to that, because sometimes what the body does is when there is a crisis, okay, so there's low blood volume, there's an infection, there's some other disease process, sometimes the bird will divert its blood to more vital organs, such as the heart, the brain, the kidneys, the liver, and sometimes the intestines get left out of that process, so they may temporarily or in severe cases permanently shut down. So, you know, the causes of intestinal disease are varied. I mean, it's the intestinal health can represent what's going on in the intestine. So, for example, a parasite, a foreign body, an obstruction, or it can represent what's happening systemically to the body. So, for example, there's severe kidney disease or liver disease or something else, such that the secondary reaction is the intestine shuts down. So intestinal health is sometimes a reflection of overall health.
So in other words, Scott, what's being produced by the digestive system doesn't necessarily reflect what's happening within the digestive system itself. It can be a reflection of the overall health of the bird.
Exactly. And I'll give you a very simple example, and that's stress. What you may see as an owner is that the bird has very, very large droppings or lots of urine in there or other changes to the dropping. And for example, when a bird comes to a veterinary office, they sometimes have changes in the droppings right then and there, and that's okay. You know, that's just a stress response. When birds are reproductively active, they tend to have very, very large, voluminous droppings, and that's okay. But it is an example where another system or another issue can affect the intestinal tract.
Scott, we talked earlier about what common digestive problems you see as a veterinarian. You talked about diarrhea, of course. I was wondering what infectious diseases you might come across quite commonly and how they would impact on the digestive system.
Okay, that's a good question, because if you are an infectious disease, whether it's a bacteria or a virus or a parasite, your goal is going to be to replicate and then spread outside the animal and infect other animals. And that's how you're going to be successful. Mm-hmm. So as we would expect, infectious diseases are going to use one of three or maybe four common routes to get outside the body. One is going to be through the respiratory system. So think about all the birds that are sneezing or coughing or you know, just shedding organisms out through that. Another one is going to be through the urinary tract. Okay, again, and that's going to mix in with the droppings and create infectious droppings. And of course, the other one is going to be through the intestinal tract. So the intestinal system is a common site where we see replication. Of course, everybody knows about parasites coming out through the intestines, but it's also a common site of viral organisms, bacterial organisms, and so forth. They're going to use that method. They may replicate in the liver or the pancreas or in the upper intestine, but they're going to create that infectious organism load, and it's going to go out through the droppings and create an infectious dropping. And that's very important to understand, that droppings can contain all sorts of different stuff in it, and some of it can be quite infectious to other birds, and a few things like psittacosis to people.
So thinking about that, Scott, a caregiver should always handle a bird dropping with care.
Absolutely. And not only that, it's a good reason to make sure that the bird's droppings are cleaned up on a regular basis, because as they dry, they become aerosolized as the bird flaps its feathers. But also, if you have food bowls that are placed underneath perches where the bird can actually create a dropping into the food or water, that can also recreate this whole infection cycle, and the bird can actually reinfect itself.
That's a great point, Scott. Thanks for making it. Let's now just move the story on a little bit. So we have a caregiver who has a bird that is sick. They've brought that bird to a veterinarian, to you, for instance. What kind of information do you need from that caregiver to be able to make a speedy diagnosis?
Well, I'm going to want to know exactly what's going on. What are you recognizing with your bird that's of concern? And then we're going to want to get into a detailed history. What exactly are you feeding your bird? Have you changed the diet? Has there been any change at home? Are there any possibilities of a bird ingesting a foreign body or chewing up pieces of plastic, metal, rubber, something else that may be going on? And has your bird been exposed to other birds that maybe have had medical problems, or maybe it's a new bird that's been brought into the household? So I'm going to want to get a complete history to kind of assess the situation, and then a complete physical exam. So from there, we start to determine what, if any, tests we need, and take it from there.
Right. And Scott, bearing in mind what we said a few moments ago about having to handle bird droppings with care, would you like a caregiver to bring in a sample of the bird's droppings when they come to the surgery?
If a bird's going to be in a hospital, visiting a clinic, a hospital, within 20 to 30 minutes, it should produce a dropping.
Right.
So we should get a fresh sample. But again, if you're seeing something at home and you're concerned that it might not show up, sure, bring it on a piece of paper.
Scott, I don't want to do you or any other veterinarian out of business, but obviously the goal of a caregiver is to keep a parrot healthy.
Yes.
What can a caregiver do on a regular basis to ensure their parrot's digestive system is healthy and working optimally?
Okay. First thing is make sure your bird is healthy. And that's the first thing in general. So that means a good diet. You know, we've mentioned about exposure to natural sunlight. Obviously address any other problems, even if they're unrelated or seemingly unrelated to the intestinal tract. And, you know, regular veterinary exams are very important. Specifically regarding the intestines, make sure that your bird does not have access to foreign bodies that it can chew and eat, and that may cause a problem. Again, make sure the diet is appropriate, and pay very close attention to the bird's droppings. Oftentimes, those can be our first cues that there is something wrong when we see a change in those droppings.
And Scott, out of interest, how important is grit to a bird's digestive health?
That question I get quite frequently. I'm glad that you brought that up. So grit help the bird grind the food within the gizzard. So technically, if a bird were eating tough or fibrous foods, the grit could help dissolve that. And in some cases, grit can actually help some foreign bodies and other non-essential foods pass through the intestines safely. So the question is, do birds need grit? Well, in the wild, in most situations, especially ground feeding birds do need grit. And I say ground feeding birds because the arboreal or tree feeding birds oftentimes don't need it, because the foods they're eating just don't require stones to help grind
it. Fruits and things which will pass straight through.
Exactly. And the in captivity, a lot of the foods, so for example, pellets and a lot of the foods that we offer birds, they also don't need grit for that purpose. So I would say for a lot of captive birds, especially that aren't raised on the ground, we probably don't need grit. The question is, will it hurt? Probably not. I rarely see problems with grit, but I also don't think it's necessary for most birds that we keep in captivity. Now, in the wild, totally different issue. Sure.
And Scott, what's your thoughts on probiotics, which are often recommended for human digestive problems?
Okay, that's a great question and one I frequently receive. Okay, so let's discuss probiotics. What we understand about probiotics is that each animal has its very own species and or subspecies of probiotics. Most people are familiar with lactobacillus because we hear about it in yogurt and other items. But the problem is there is no one bird probiotic. So no one has manufactured the Bajaragar probiotic or the brown lory probiotic or the blue and gold macaw probiotic. Right. And the studies that we have in probiotics are quite weak in birds, very different from humans. Now, on the human side, we actually have some great studies on probiotics and their effects on health. My experience with probiotics has not been favorable. I've not really had a problem with them, but have not seen any benefit, and I actually stopped using them many years ago, even with antibiotic use and other things. And I think part of the problem is we just don't have probiotics specific for bird species. Right. We have bird probiotics, but nothing that's specific. So I don't recommend those products. And I know that some people will disagree with me, but I will stand by that until we get some more data.
Scott, once again, thank you. A fantastic amount of information you've given over the last 20 minutes or so. Just to summarize, I guess some of this sounds quite complicated, but really, it's all about just looking after your bird properly, isn't it? And keeping an eye out on what's happening with their droppings. That seems to be the message I'm getting anyway.
Exactly. It's observation. You know, observation that something is not quite right or is changing, that's very important.
And are all vets interested in poop?
Oh, we're all interested in poop. I mean, you have to be interested in poop. Come on. So, absolutely. You know, and I think some clients are, you know, a little concerned about bringing a sample, but you know what? That's what we look at. And we look at, I look at that when a bird comes in, not even knowing that there may be an intestinal problem. I want to see if that dropping is normal.
Right. And that is a great place to lead this conversation. Scott, Dr. Eccles, thank you very much indeed for taking time out of your busy day to chat with us again.
All right, thank you.
For more information about caring for your parrot from Dr. Scott Eccles, check out his instructional DVDs in the Expert Companion Bird Care series, which you can find online at www.avianstudios.com. For more information about parrots and current conservation efforts, visit the World Parrot Trust on the web at www.parrots.org. And finally, if you'd like more information about talking naturally, please do visit my website at www.talking-naturally.co.uk.